This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns should be joining us later on tonight by phone, and hopefully we'll have Tim aboard, and we'll get to all of our scheduled guests in just a second. First, this presentation of MSO News Sports is brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. By Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. By Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plashtown, New Hampshire. By Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969. By Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. By attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation. By Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. By the Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn. Combining with Lynn Arts, building a vibrant cultural center in downtown Lynn. By Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance. By the Porthole Restaurant. The Porthole provides a great dining value, combining quality with quantity. By the Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And by the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlife.com, the daily item serving the North Shore since 1877. Okay, here we go. Let's turn off the music, shall we? On this unusually, incredibly warm, terribly warm for us skiers, midwinter's day, but certainly great for those who don't like winter and those who don't like high heating bills. So congratulations. I think it got up to 63. I was in Beverly today, and it was 63 with my car thermometer. So not too shabby. Hope it doesn't melt the ice in the rinks. We've got high school hockey coming up on Wednesday, high school basketball coming up tomorrow, and all kinds of programming. But first, let me tell you about today's show. As we are back finally. We were off a couple of weeks ago, and we did hockey last Monday night. We're going to start off the program with Steve Krause. Steve is the Item sports editor. He's the Item editor. He's the news editor now, but certainly keeps his eye on sports. We'll check in with Steve. I believe he's recovering from some recent surgery. We'll check with Steve on that. We should see if I'm right. 7:20, or coming up later on, it'll be James Coffey, the Beverly High School athletic director, and I don't think anyone is more proficient with social media than James is. So we'll check in with James Coffey, see what's happening. He had a special event today as an AD, and we'll see what's going on over at Beverly High School. Say hello to Ben Goodhue too. Hi, Coach. If he's not listening now, he will be on demand. Coach checks us out all the time. We were talking about him, too, on Saturday with Phil Stacey and Matt Roy and Scott Cooper on our high school broadcast when we had Marblehead against Peabody. Later on, we'll have Sal Cellino pre-recorded with Tim Kearns on Coach's File. That we posted that this afternoon earlier, and we'll also play that back for you tonight. We'll have a talk with the Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director, Craig Genualdo, coming up, and then we'll finish it off tonight with Tim Kearns and maybe another special guest or two. But you can see it's a pretty filled-up program, and we hope that you will stay with us. If you have complaints, comments, suggestions, please send them along to msonewsradio@gmail.com or msonewsportsradio@gmail.com or msonewsports@gmail.com. We share news and sports with just the one S. So it's and I love the way Wally the Donuts talks about Honeydew Donuts. Wally says msonewsports.com, and I like the way that comes out. So you get the idea. Anyway, you can email us at msonewsports.com, not .com, msonewsports@gmail.com. I gotta let Bill do that. Bill, we gotta record that so I don't get it wrong. You always get it right. Okay, let's see here now. We do have a basketball game coming up tomorrow night. Bill will be on board for that. I believe it's Lynn English at Danvers High School. That will be boys basketball Wednesday night. We're planning to do the Lynn Jets at Marblehead. Each team unbeaten at this point in their respective divisions of the Northeastern Conference. Peabody, check at Marblehead is in the north. And Lynn is in the south. Each team, as we said, is unbeaten. And the Lynn Jets have not yet clinched the lower division there. They haven't clinched the south. They will need to do that against Gloucester on Saturday. Okay. So there you go. We'll take our first break of the night, come back. We will check in with Steve Krause. Haven't talked with Steve in quite a while. Looking forward to that. This is MSONewsSports.com. We'll be back.
It kills me not to know this, but I've all but just forgotten what the color of her eyes were.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
All right, I forgot for a minute here how to do the controls. It's been so long. Well, we want to welcome Steve Krause back. Steve, the editor at the Daily Item. How are you, Steve?
All things considered, Rick, I'm doing okay.
Steve, it's been a while since I've talked to you. I know you talk with Bill fairly frequently, and we got a lot of catching up to do. But first of all, I don't know if you want to mention your health, but I did see on social media you had to go in for some surgery, and it sounds like everything went well.
Yeah, I don't have a problem talking about it, Rick. I had a triple bypass operation last Friday, not 2 days ago, but a week ago, and it happened kind of fast, and it was a bit of a surprise, but whatever it was, it is, and I'm glad I did it, because it turns out that I needed one.
You know, these things from a visitor's point of view, or a layperson, have become, I'm going to put this word in quotes, routine.
Yeah.
But Steve, I don't know if you want to share thoughts on it, but it had to be a little scary.
Well, there's an old saying that says having a bypass operation is like getting your tonsils out, just so long as they're not your tonsils.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly.
Same thing. It's routine until it's you.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know, but
it's not so routine.
The good thing is I've been through a number of things over the last couple of years, and I look back and I think, you know, if this happened to me, oh, I don't know, when I was a kid 10, 20, 30 years ago, the results might not have been so good. But, boy, with modern technology and the medicines they have, and some of this stuff is even called, again, in quotes, day surgery. So, you know, all's well, it ends well, I guess, so you're in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, I have miles to go before I'm back doing anything approaching work, but, you know, I have I'm pretty good second chance here. For somebody who didn't know that it had gotten to that point, All I can say is that I'm glad it did, and that because when they told me, you know, just how extensive the damage was in my heart, in my arteries, it was like, holy moly, you know? Who knew?
Well, I can share with you, I had a major stroke last April, and I think because of the running shape I was in, I don't know if you can believe it, but there was absolutely no damage, and I'm so grateful. Same thing, like scary, but all the lights came back on, so here we are.
Right.
All right, Steve, let's get to it. I don't know what you want to... I'm going to leave this open for you because it's a wide-open issue with sports. The high school scene is very busy. I'll just tell you that Bill has been covering basketball intensively this winter for us. I've been doing hockey. We've had a lot of broadcasts on. However, from your perspective, I believe there's something called the Beanpot going on tonight.
Yeah, it is.
So,
they actually have a shot at winning because there's no way I'm going to be able to go. We're talking about my beloved Huskies, of course.
Of course.
You know, the other game, I know that the last time I checked, BC was ahead of Harvard by a goal, unless there's been a change. And it's very difficult for me to wrap my arms around the fact that Harvard is good, because usually the last 10 or so years, Harvard has been the team that you wanted to get in the first round, because it kind of was easier to beat them than it was to beat BC or BU.
Yeah.
But not this year, although BC's got them after 2, I guess, 3-2. Actually, they're in the third period now, but I don't know. Northeastern is 9-12, but you know what? They've won about 7 games in a row, and BU is 12-8, so I look at that, you know, where the two teams are, and, you know, for my purposes, all I care about is the second game because of the Northeastern factor, but I give us a decent shot.
Well, you know, there's always that, especially given the records, I suppose. You know, I was just thinking, I saw Ally McGraw and, what's his name there?
Ryan O'Neal.
Ryan O'Neal, yeah, on the paper there. They're doing love letters, and I believe that was the last time that Harvard was a threat in hockey, wasn't it, when he was doing that, what was that movie they did so long ago? Love Story.
Love Story.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, they've had decent seasons since then. You know, they're not quite as abjectly horrible as Northeastern has been over the years. Yeah. But you know, Northeastern is at least in the last 10 or 11 years been a little bit more respectable in losing than they were in the beginning. I always measure the winter as the definite halfway point in any winter is after Northeastern's lost in the Bean, whenever that is. You know, I know my probably going to have an awful lot of Northeastern people on my case for that now, but...
Well, you're an alum. You're allowed. You can say that.
They'll live. They'll get over it, you know?
Yeah, I was marking the midwinter today with screaming, and anybody I could scream at with this terrible weather, because I can't ski in this weather. This is just awful.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't really deal much with skiing. You know,
I don't get a lot of love when I say that, Steve. All right, listen, great surprise. I don't know if surprise is the wrong word. Great story coming out of Lynn High Schools with the Lynn Jets hockey team under Joe Conlon this year.
I think that's a really, really nice story. And also the Lynn girls are having a very good season, too, if I'm not mistaken. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Joe Conlon. You know, they're already in the tournament. Joe is a class act all the way. I mean, I've a special kind of fondness for Joe, because Joe is the same age as my son, and I came across him the first time. I came across him, he lives with, only lived across, grew up across the playground from where I lived, and they played Little League together, he and my son. And, you know, so I got to know Joe at a very early age, and his family and everything. And I always just thought they were the classiest people. So to see him doing well and making a go out of this Jets thing is really, really nice. It's very heartwarming to see.
Oh, I agree. And a couple of weeks ago we were doing a Marblehead game, and he and Bob Jackson were sitting in the stands together before the game. And among them, they had something like 18 wins and 0 losses. So it's a great story for sure.
Yeah, and it's hard to, you know, you don't root against coaches. You don't root against kids. I always kind of made it a rule whenever I was covering it, that, you know, you might want a particular team to win for a particular reason, but you're not rooting against people when you do. And you never root against, you know, it's not the same as rooting against Shaquille O'Neal or Peyton Manning.
Right.
But at the same time, having said that, even, you know, if you are inclined to be that way, it is really, really hard to root against him.
Yeah, and I don't think most high school fans, they get it, and that's we certainly agree with you on that. I learned that a long, long time ago when I was just a little kid from Doc Enos, you know.
Yeah.
Doc would be upstairs, as you know, pounding on the keyboard, the old Smith Corona portable at football games, and swearing and yelling at kids. And then in the paper, you'd never see one bad word written about anybody on either team.
Well, I remember one time speaking at Doc, who I loved, by the way. Speaking of Doc, we were at a Saugus Gloucester football game, and there was this kid from Saugus who was sitting. There wasn't enough room for us in the press box, so Doc and I are sitting in the last row of the stands, and this kid comes over, and he wants to impress us by how much he knows, and Saugus kid fumbles the ball, and this Saugus fan just goes off on a tangent about a stupid Saugus kid fumbled the ball and how could he do that, and Doc finally had enough of him.
Yeah.
Doc through his door and says, yeah, I'm sure that's just what he wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. And doesn't that say it all, huh? Just like
yeah.
that. You know, it's funny. We talked to Senator Joan Lovely on Friday, and I've talked with Gloucester Police Chief Leonard Campanello about this opioid thing.
Right, yeah.
And they both said the same thing, the exact same thing that Doc said, but just in a different context. No kid grows up wanting to be a drug addict, you know? So it's the same, you know, it's a little more compassion, a little more understanding.
Well, you know, I'm playing the oxycodone game now, obviously, because of the pain meds that I'm on for the operation, and, you know, I don't think there's any danger of me becoming hooked on them because, you know, I'm already trying to wean myself off of them.
Yeah.
But, well, you say wean, that's probably not the right word. You either take them or you don't, but as long as you have them, they're very easy to gravitate to because they do make your pain go away. And
well, the thing I discovered that scared me the first time I ever had that kind of situation was that it really masks the healing process in that I thought, yeah, we can go for a walk. And I had abdominal surgery. And then as soon as the pill starts to wear off, you realize the fire down there and realize, oh, wait a minute, this thing is still healing. I'd best go back home and lie down.
Yeah, what they told me was that you have to take them because it wrecks everything if you don't.
Right.
It raises your blood pressure. But you also have to do what they tell you to do, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to get any place trying to be a hero in this whole thing.
Well, I think that's the, you know, being around sports, we learn that. You've got to take care of your body. You've got to listen to your body, and you got to do what the doctors tell you to do. And if you do that, you're in pretty good shape.
Right, and you can't listen to people who don't know what they're talking about.
Agreed.
You know, so anyway.
Well, Steve, I don't want to keep you too long. I got a bunch of people lined up tonight, but I do want to know if there's anything else on your mind that you'd like to get off to that healed chest of yours.
Well, I guess the only thing I'd like to get off that healed chest of mine is that the Lynn City Swim Meet is this weekend, and I know that that's a little bit off the beaten track when it comes to other things that, you know, we spend an awful lot of time focusing on. But I got to tell you, from my days and years of covering sports, it was always one of the classiest events in the city. As is school swimming in general. It's, you know, I think we all have our what do you call them, guilty pleasures in life, you know, and, you know, some of us might be, we like Barry Manilow.
Oh, man. Oh, that hurts. Oh, my God. I never thought I'd hear that name on this show.
But, yeah, well, mine is that I really like high school swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And the meet's this weekend, and it's a classy event. And, you know, anybody that wants to see, you know, sports, high school sports, done up exactly the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Well,
get over to Lynn Tech Saturday and see it.
I got to tell you, Denise Silva calls in once a week with reports from how Classical is doing and the opposition. Mm-hmm. She gives credit to both teams. Her reports are tremendous. She's so enthusiastic, and she's so. We had her on 2 weeks ago, and she's just so proud of the kids. So I'm glad you brought that up, Steve.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm going to leave you with is that I know about 5 minutes ago I said I don't root against kids. I do root against Peyton Manning, however.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Although Cam Newton, he ain't making it easy to root for him either.
No, but guess what? I love watching him play.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so sick and tired of that commercial. And, you know, yep. I just wanted to see him get slapped.
All right. Well, it well could happen. They certainly, you know. The Panthers certainly look to be better than Denver, but we'll see what happens. Steve, don't be a stranger. I know that you'll be getting back together with Bill, and, man, it's so great to talk to you, and I'm so glad you're okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll talk to you later, brother.
Background, take care.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Steve Krause, the editor of the Daily Item, back on his feet, and I don't know if he's back to work yet, but he will be soon after some major surgery, and great guy. All right, we're going to take a break, come back with another great guy, James Coffey, who is the director of athletics over at Beverly High School. We'll be right back. This is MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, I'm going to try one more time live here to get a hold of James Coffey. I'm going to email him, too, to let him know that I'm calling him now because the line has been busy, and we'll see if we can get a hold of him. So here's how it goes. Let's just redial this thing and see what happens. Nope, well, that takes care of that. Busy again. Okay, so what we can do is we'll go to Plan B. We've got a couple of interviews. We're going to go to Tim Curran's coach's file first, and we hope to talk with Tim later on. But Tim talked with a member of the Gloucester High School swim team recently, and the young man's name is Sam Sal Cellino. And here we go with Tim Curran's.
For MSO News Sports, I'm Tim Curran's, and this is the coach's file brought to you by Big Jim's Auto Body, 19 Creek Street in Beverly. For the best in auto body repair, contact Jimmy Zarella at 978-927-3201. Big Jim's, winner of the best auto body shop in the Salem-Beverly area for 7 out of the last 8 years. Joining me today in the coach's file is a former student of mine, Sal Cellino, and he's a member of the recently formed Gloucester swim team. We're going to look back over its formation and some of its successes and the learning pains that it's gone through. Sal, welcome.
Hi.
Okay, how old is the program itself?
2 years.
Over those 2 years, anytime there's a new varsity level sport comes into being, there are struggles as it gets used to the varsity level of competition because a lot of other schools you're competing against have programs that have been competing, I guess for lack of a better word, for a much longer period of time, and they sort of know the ins and out of the competitive swim world. How's it gone for Gloucester?
So far, it's gone relatively well. We are still trying to gather more people for our swim team and teach them that, you know, competitive swimming is very tough. It is very, commitment is a big factor in swimming. And we want to get the word out because, well, look at us. We're Gloucester. We live by the ocean. Why not take swim team?
You know, that's funny. I mentioned that to a friend of mine recently that I was going to be interviewing you. And and they said, well, haven't they always had a swim team? I said, no, you would think they would have, but it's something relatively new. Town has a lot of kids who swim, just not necessarily in the competitive side.
It's kind of funny saying that because most of us really love to swim just for fun. We always have a group of friends and we always like to go and, hey, let's go swimming, you know. But usually it's always for a fun, relaxing time. But when it comes down to competitive swimming, it gets really intense, just like any other sport. And it's really interesting once you get into the technical aspects of competitive swimming.
And that's probably one of the things that a lot of the kids that have come out over the last couple of years haven't really understood is the preparation that it takes to swim competitively.
Yeah, competitive swimming is a very tough thing. Competitive swimming is something that needs to be realized more in Gloucester. I think that, by explaining to students and anyone who wants to join swim team in general, should learn that, well, competitive swimming can be just as tough as, say, competitive football or hockey, in that, in some cases, it may be even more technical. So,
certainly, it requires hours of practice, hours in the pool, learning various techniques over the various distances. Is that one of the toughest things?
Yes. For one, some special, hard technical stuff of swimming. It's hard to explain, honestly. But a big key factor in swimming, competitive swimming rather, is pacing. I think pacing is the top technical aspect of swimming, just because if you don't have a good breathing pattern, you will be struggling really hard just to try and keep your, just to keep your distance, honestly, and your time.
One of the toughest other things is learning how to make a turn. We all just swim and then you lackadaisically turn around, but now you've got to go a set distance and then pivot off a wall. Does that take some time as well?
It does, honestly. Some people are even afraid just to put their head in the water and to do flips or flip turns. When we pivot off the wall, they think they'll get water in your nose. And it's all about, learning to control your breathing. And if you learn to control your breathing well, you can blow out your nose, blow out your mouth, and you have to hold your breath for a certain amount of time, get a certain amount of kicks. All about getting the most distance within a short time span and without much effort as you get used to it over and over, like any other practice would.
What's the biggest difference that you've seen for this year's team over last year's team?
Huge commitment. There's a bigger commitment this year than there was last year. We've had a couple more dedicated swimmers in the past. Dedicated swimmers that have swam before and know what it's like to be on a dedicated swim team. So we're a lot more dedicated. Our teamwork and our support for the team is very... very cheerful. We really want to cheer on our team because, honestly, when you're getting cheered out there, it feels great. You know, you think you can do this, and you know you can do this. So everyone's supporting each other. We all want to win, but at the same time, we also want to have fun while doing so. And we're just a big family, kind of, when we go out there competitively, at the same time while having fun.
Well, Sal, I want to thank you for this introduction into the world of Gloucester swimming. Appreciate it. I want to continue wishing you guys best of luck. I know you said you had one last meet coming up. How soon is that?
That is tomorrow, Tuesday the 26th, at the Gloucester YMCA.
Okay, listen, so good luck in that match, and good luck for the rest of the year, and as you move on after Gloucester High School.
Thank you.
Okay. That's from Sal Cialino, a senior Gloucester High School member of the varsity swim team in its second year of competition. For MSO News Sports, I'm Tim Kearns.
All right, Tim, thank you very much. And we're going to turn now to James Coffey, the Beverly Athletic Director. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Tim's not here, actually. That was recorded, but he's listening.
Oh, yeah?
He is listening, and I'm going to have him on later on, so I appreciate it. James, I don't think anybody is more prolific on social media than you are. You got that phone. Is it implanted in your wrist somehow?
I think a lot of people think that, but it's really it's a lot easier than than you'd think.
Well, but it's also it's great in getting correct information out, but it's also a way to connect with not only your kids but also everybody they know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was kind of the idea when we started it in 2009. Was just, if there's a mom or dad that you know, if we have a 4 o'clock soccer game and mom and dad's at work and sitting in a cubicle until five, they want to know how their kids are doing. So I figured we'd start tweeting and trying to get information out. It's kind of blown up, and you know, we just kind of stuck with it. You know.
Well, I know that when we're at games and stuff, when we're broadcasting, Kearns is always on there checking to see how your Panthers are doing, because you give updates from every single event. How many events do you go to during a normal week?
Several. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. The last three Mondays, tonight and the last two Mondays, I've been able to get home like at 5 o'clock, and that's been the only nights I've had off.
Good heavens.
Like this week, I have something every night at 7 o'clock from Tuesday through Saturday. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of nights in the winter.
Yeah.
It's like every night in the winter. Yesterday, Sunday was the only day I've had off in a while, and it's kind of weird.
I'm sure, yeah, like your kids are saying, who is this guy? All right, yeah. Now, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on in Panthers sports, but before we do that, you tweeted something out today, or Instagram or something or other, about you were at an AD's roundtable at Endicott, and you mentioned something about teachers and coaches from England. What was that all about?
Yeah, so Endicott College, you know, their sports management department has this kind of partnership with this group in London or in England called the Youth Sport Trust. And it's a group of educators over there from all over and different schools, and they basically are looking at how to bring into scholastic athletics to their schools, because over there everything's club or what we call AAU, and they don't really have school sports. They don't. Their schools don't have school colors. They don't have nicknames or anything like that. They go to school and they go home. Mm-hmm. So there's not really that extra curricular component, and they're trying to get that into their schools. So Endicott has this partnership with them, and every 6 months or so, groups of educators from England come over, and when they come over, I usually go there and you know, meet with them and talk about our culture and high school sports, and then on Wednesday they'll come by the high school, they'll take a tour of our high school and see our practices, and then Wednesday night they're coming to the boys' hockey game. So they come for like a week and they do this whole tour and they try to learn about our interscholastic athletic culture, and we learn a little bit about their phys ed programs because they have unbelievable phys ed and health programs over in England. And so it's kind of like a back and forth, and I've just been, being the local AD and obviously graduating from Endicott and knowing connections there, they've always asked me to take part in it. And it's really fun. It's been a great experience. So.
Oh, it sounds like it. And are there people who come back that you know you've met before and now you know who they are?
It's, you know what? I haven't yet. They tend to want to send different groups.
Sure.
There are people that have come back a second time, but their focus on the second trip is a little bit different than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I usually meet a dozen new people every, you know, few months.
Well, now it sounds to me like it's a great opportunity for some international cooperation. Are you guys going to get a chance to go visit over there?
I don't know. I'm just helping Endicott, you know, because I like to do it, and we learn a lot from the people from England as well. But I don't know.
How are the female sports? Are they on a par? I know you said there's no interscholastic stuff, but are there female athletics on a par with ours?
Yeah, they just it's just a different culture in that everything's club. You know what I mean? They leave school at whatever, 2 o'clock every day, and then they go to whatever club sport that they have.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. What the sports might be? How many there might be? Because we have so many different sports.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, they have a wide variety, but they don't, it's not as big as over here. Like, obviously, soccer, football over there is huge,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But
yep.
They were talking about today how basketball is really not that popular over there with the high school age kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know they have some of those leagues over there overseas, but this is not really, the kids follow the NBA, but they don't play basketball a lot.
Right.
But soccer, I know, is really big, and cricket, and you know, swimming's, I guess, pretty big over there. So, I mean, they just have different interests, and it's an interesting culture.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. I like the picture you posted, and that's really cool. Let's bring it home now to Beverly, and tell us a little bit about the successes you guys have had as this winter sports season winds down.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's been overall a really good winter, and you know, we've had a lot of teams have some success, and you know, I'll rifle through them quick. But you know, the boys' basketball team's having a good year, and they're 10-5, and we'll be, you know, if they win one more, we play 22 games. So if they win one more, they'll qualify for the state tournament. And, girls hoop tonight lost at Revere. It was a 2-point game at half, but they lost 60-46. And you know, our girls, you know, Revere is mm-hmm. a top program right now. They're really yep. strong. So it's, you know, the girls played hard and they're having a good year and fighting, and hopefully we'll get in the tournament. And, our gymnastics team is undefeated. They've won 54 straight meets now.
Ooh, mercy.
Dating, it's been 7 years now. So they have Masco tomorrow night. If they can win that meet, they will be, that'll be 55 straight and another conference title, which I think is 7 in a row. But we'll see. They got to compete tomorrow night. But Julie Shimano is our first year head coach, and she's doing a great job. Wrestling this past weekend, we hosted the Northeast Conference Cape Ann League meet, and we had three NEC Cal champions, Christian Necevaria, Nick Shares, and Nick Tripoli. Mm-hmm. So we had three champions there in a few seconds, and we'll be hosting the Division II sectionals, which is on the 13th, February 13th, we'll be hosting them at Beverly High, so that's it'll be a nice event coming up. And swimming, I believe it's 5-2. Coach Swenson, they had a great year. They have the NEC meet tomorrow and Wednesday. And, you know, they'll be competing. And, you know, we've had a great year. Some of our swimmers, you know, one of our swimmers, Sarah Welch, is going to Brown. And she's an outstanding student athlete. And, you know, she's like a three-time NEC, three-time Salem News Globe, Herald, Lynn Item, All Scholastic, the whole thing. So, you know, she's had a great year, and the swim team's had a great year as well. Our two hockey teams, the boys are competing every day. They're on the bubble for the state tournament, but they're really a really young program. Coach Shears in his second year, and he's doing a great job, and just a really young team. There are some veterans there, you know, Ross Walsh, Sean Hanlon, Hunter Spencer. But they have a really young core, and they have some, you know, good young eighth graders and seventh graders in the middle school. So that program will see a shift back up in the next couple of years. And but they're competing and playing tough right now. And our girls hockey team is 11-4. Coach Seabury, you know, plays the toughest schedule in the country for girls ice hockey. So being 11-4 mm-hmm. schedule that we play is really, you know, it's impressive, and he wants to play the best in the state and be ready for tournament time. So I know they'll be ready, and that should be an exciting team to watch in the playoffs.
All right, and go ahead.
Last, we have the track teams. You know, Coach Jellison, once again, they finished undefeated, 7-0, and they won the NEC meet at Reggie Lewis last week, and our boys finished 5-2, finished fourth in the meet last week. So we've had a great year, and
tremendous. Yeah, absolutely, great story. And finally, James, as I keep you busy on a Monday night off that you have, final question. Bill Newell reminded me about. Is there any news concerning the football playoffs? I mean, I know there's supposed to be some kind of a vote or something coming up, and there's been a realignment. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, I believe it's April 8th is going to be a revote. You know, originally when this playoff system was put into place, the thought was that we would do it, pilot it for 2 years, and then the whole state would vote again. And so that really didn't happen, and then the MIA kind of said, well, it's up to the tournament management committee. They now decide if we're going to continue the playoffs or not, and a lot of schools are upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there was a lot of push from a lot of leagues, but the Bay State League really took the reins and fought this and just said, look it, we just want another vote of each school in the state, and you know what, if it passes and this playoff system stays, then it stays, and everybody will be fine with that. And if it doesn't pass, then okay, let's go back to the drawing board and see what happens. So there'll be a vote on April 8th on whether or not we're going to continue with this playoff system. If it passes, then the playoff system stays, and mm-hmm. then if it doesn't pass, then I don't know what happens.
That'll be fun.
System.
Yeah, we'll figure
it out. Next year is in place. It's the same system for next year. So.
All right.
Really, 2 years down the road.
James Coffey, athletic director of Beverly High School, thank you so much for taking time tonight on your night off. And as always, thanks for all the help that you give us.
Yeah, no problem. It's always a pleasure being on. So.
All right, James. Take care.
All right.
Good night. That is James Coffey, who is the athletic director of Beverly High School. As we said, very proficient and prolific on social media. Gets all the information out there. Okay, one quick break. We will come back with the Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director Craig Genualdo here on North Shore Sports Night on this Monday. And time remaining, if there is time remaining, there should be, we'll see if we can check in with Tim Kearns.
Come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
All right, we're back now with Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director Craig Genualdo. Craig, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Oh, just great. Although I'm a little depressed with this warm weather. I'm a skier, and
you know, this is the exact middle of winter, and it's 60 something degrees outside. Don't you wish you could save this weather for the spring outdoor sports?
Yeah, it's a little crazy. A buddy of mine and I helped build a backyard rink in his yard, and we've got about 2 days on it so far, and a lot of time invested in that thing. So it's a little bit.
So much for that. Well, hopefully we're going to get some cold weather. You know that's coming. Well, Craig, a lot going on in Hamilton Wenham, and I don't quite know where to start, except let's get to the email. First of all, you've got a couple of new hires for spring sports, so let's get right to those. What's going on?
Yeah, we had a vacancy in girls tennis and girls lacrosse, and we had some really good candidates for both, but for girls tennis, we chose Judy Hoyle, who is a longtime teacher in the Ipswich Public Schools. She's helped out their tennis program for quite a while, and she was instrumental in bringing girls tennis back to Ipswich, and she's now the head of PE and I think the science department there, so we're really excited to have her, and what she has in common with Terry Eaton, who is our choice for girls lacrosse, is that they're both educators, and anytime you get a chance to hire a teacher or someone who knows kids and knows how to teach and knows how to connect with different levels of different abilities and different personalities, you tend to lean toward that. Terry is a fifth grade ELA and social studies teacher at our middle at the Bucher Elementary School in Wenham, so right here in town. She had an incredible career at Tufts, where she was a captain and all academic. NESCAC for 3 years and all NESCAC her senior year and co-MVP her senior year and was an All-American in high school. And during her interview, she spoke very fondly and eloquently about her mom was a coach. And so her mom was kind of thrust in the position of being her coach her senior year and had some funny stories about that. But she's been looking, you know, I think this was what she wanted to do for a long, long time. I think, you know, she's always wanted to do this, and so she's going to have a chance to lead our program from the ground up. They're both just going to do a phenomenal job.
Yeah, I'm envious because my daughter plays lacrosse at Gloucester High School. They're still looking for a coaching staff, so good for you. That's good to get it done at this particular time. And also, I know Carrie is a fifth-grade teacher, but it's good to have someone in the system. She knows the kids on their way up, and plus I'm sure she has contacts at the high school. And that always gives coaches a bit of an advantage with the kids.
Sure. I mean, it won't be for a few years, but eventually the hope is that she'll have had some of these kids in class. And, you know, she'll be able to maybe help out if the youth lacrosse program is interested in her help, which I'm sure they would be, to just kind of come down and do a clinic or two or just a day or two and she's just, so you're right, being in the system helps. You know, she's not traveling very far to get to practice every day, which is nice. But just educators in general have a very special connection with kids because they understand that kids are at different levels, different abilities, and kids are motivated by different things, and you have one common goal, but, you know, it's not 19, you know, Hoosiers was on the other day, and Norman Dale couldn't probably be a great coach right now.
yeah, it's different.
You can't teach everybody the same way and say it's my way or the highway. You really have to meet kids where they're at, and then you have to, you know, develop them individually, but in a group culture with a common group goal, and so educators are just inherently good at that. That's what they do all day and night, so we're very lucky to have both of them.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. It's not to say that you have to be an educator to be a good coach, but it certainly, if you're a good coach and an educator, it gives you a bit of an advantage, no question.
Yes.
Craig, what else is going on now? I know that we did a game a week or so ago. Bill Newell did a girls' basketball game, and things are going pretty well.
They are. So our boys' basketball team is, I think they're 11-3, and they lost a real close game to undefeated North Reading last week.
Oh, that's what it was, boys. I'm sorry, yep, boys, yep.
Yeah, and then they lost the game early in the year to Amesbury when, you know, I think if you asked them, I don't think they could have thrown at the ocean that night. But, you know, they've kind of built this team on their defense and on their defensive pressure and doing that. And so they're doing great. Mikey DiMarino's in his first year, and the kids are really responding to him and doing a wonderful, wonderful job. Our girls' basketball team, I think they're at about 5-7 right now. Coach DeMarco has done a great job this year getting them to where they are. They're a very, very young team, very athletic, very young. The first 2 years he was here, they made the tournament and won a game or two. And then last year, you know, I think they started all freshmen and sophomores. They had some injuries, they battled injuries all year. It didn't really go that well, wins and losses wise, but you can tell the girls are really responding. They're playing incredible. They have their own set of defensive pressure that they're all over the place. They love causing turnovers and doing that thing. And so, you know, they're right there on the cusp after a very difficult year of making the tournament. The swim and indoor track championships are coming up. The indoor track championships are tomorrow, down at the Reggie Lewis Center at 7 for the Cape Ann League, and then swimming is at 9 at Salem State on Sunday morning. And, you know, those teams are doing great as well. And, one thing that we're really excited about is we've gone through a process here where we're trying to bring back hockey to the high school. And so last year, for the first time, we had a boys' JV hockey team with Hamilton Wenham on the jersey for the first time in about 10 years. And yeah, they struggled last year, a lot of very young kids, and you know, they lost. You know, I think they tied a couple and lost the rest. This year, we're playing other JV teams in the Cape Ann League. We're playing schools like Danvers and Beverly. And I want to say on record, maybe 7-3-1 or 7-3-2 or something like that. So they're doing a great, great job, really trying to bring that sport back to the high school.
Fantastic, fantastic. And, you know, Craig, we actually are starting to prepare for football. I know it's only, you know, the first day of February, but we have to look ahead and get our sponsors and so on. And what's going on over there at Hamilton Wenham? I see you've got a meeting tonight.
So the meeting tonight is for it's a Wenham town meeting. It's the annual CPC meeting, which we're going to talk about turf fields at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
There's a project that's been underway to look at what it would take to get, you know, some turf fields and some lights. Both in the game field, on the practice field, and on the practice field out back, and mm-hmm. To see what that would take. And so, you know, it's different meetings, it's different nights, and tonight we're going to the Wenham Town Board to talk about CPC funds as a way to try to jumpstart some of these things. So, you know, we have a design out there, and we have a plan. We have the justification of why it's needed. Now we just kind of have to kick into gear and kind of take things to the next level in terms of figuring out where the money comes from and all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck with that. I met with Kyle Hodson a couple of weeks ago for the first time. I hadn't met him before up at Newburyport. And, you know, we were fantasizing, and one of my dreams is to have a Super League with the Cape Ann League and the Northeastern Conference. But Cape Ann League athletic directors meetings, anything on the fire, anything cooking in the off season here?
No. And Kyle's great, by the way. We're very lucky to have the league reporters very blessed to have him. He's such a good guy. He's so smart. Came in. He's been an athletic director for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's new to the job title, but he's just a solid, solid guy. So really glad he's in our league, first of all. But we had the inquiry from like you might have seen it was on Twitter a little bit. We had the inquiry from the Greater Boston League School to potentially come in and add four teams from the Greater Boston League to the Cape Ann League. And again, we had that vote, and it was a wonderful presentation by the Somerville headmaster. He couldn't have been a more integrity-filled, stand-up, awesome guy. They had all kinds of facts and figures, but at the end of the day, I think it was a tough match in terms of travel time, not necessarily distance, but just get stuck in traffic coming home and getting home really late at night and some different things. So hopefully we're going to be able to get a lot of kind of non-league games and stuff with those schools in the future because we learned a lot about them. And but that was last month, and then these upcoming months we're going to just be looking to confirm our spring schedules and mm-hmm. kind of do that stuff and just kind of get the day-to-day rolling.
Yeah, the calendar, the days are flipping over. And, I appreciate, Craig, I appreciate you taking the time. And also, what you said about travel time, I have some friends up in Newfields in Exeter, New Hampshire, and they have a high school, I think it's the Exeter High School swim team. They're out as late as 10 and 11 o'clock at night during a school night. So I'm glad you guys keep it in order,
Yeah, my old school was in the Catholic Central League, and you might have a St. Mary's or a Bishop Fenwick that has to be on a Cardinal Spelman or Archbishop Williams. And so they do it because they're a great member league of schools. But that's tough. That can take a toll. And, you can kind of do some of that stuff with some creative scheduling and kind of put those travel games on Fridays. But, but it's a lot. And so it was really too bad because the presentation was excellent. We loved the integrity that he brought to the table.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a tough sell to go back to our parents and say, look, we're adding these games, and instead of getting home at 9 o'clock from a basketball game, you're looking at 10 or 10:15. That would be tough. So.
Well, listen, Craig, thanks for keeping us in the picture here, and also thanks to girls basketball coach John DeMarco. He sends in reports from the games, and we get those posted right away. So I appreciate it, and keep it going over there.
All right, we'll do our best. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate it.
All right, Craig, take care.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
That is Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director Craig Genualdo. And we immediately switch over to Tim Kearns, who's on the line right now. And, Tim, how you doing?
I'm well, Rick. Diving through a couple of AFIV episodes, so I appreciate your understanding and not making it over tonight.
Well, we got our health issues out of the way here. We talked to Steve Krause earlier. We mentioned mine. We got you. So hopefully all is well with the Red Cross scene. My goodness.
I don't want to get too far away, though.
Hey, listen, I almost got into politics with Steve, but I didn't. And by the way, Tim Kearns, of course, our co-host on North Shore Sports Night, and, of course, our sports analyst extraordinaire. A quick comment on the Iowa caucuses. What's the import of those, Tim?
Well, certainly it's the first gauge of, a candidate's popularity. At least in that section of the country, they want to gain a win in Iowa to sort of stake their claim to the lead, or at least second fiddle right behind the front runner. Everybody anticipates Donald Trump to seize the day in Iowa. The big fight there is, of course, it's the second place for the Democrats between Bernie and Hillary. It's been seesawing back and forth. So it gives you the initial bragging rights going into the primary season itself, beginning with New Hampshire. So, it's a gauge of one section of the country, but it's not truly an accurate gauge for the entire country as a whole.
All right, and final question on politics: when do we first hear about results? Does that have to wait till tomorrow because everything takes place tonight?
Well, it's interesting. NPR is broadcasting the Iowa Public Radio beginning around 10 o'clock, which would be, I believe it's 8 o'clock our time, maybe even 9 o'clock. So that's when the results will start to come in. So we'll have an early indication of what some of the caucuses have decided upon as they come in. So you'll be getting analysis after 10 o'clock on NPR if you tune it in. And then, of course, all through the night as the numbers continue to come in, and that'll be full-blown tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and I think...
On all the media stations.
Yeah, and to clarify, at 10 o'clock here is 8 p.m. out there. They're two hours behind us, so...
Okay.
Yeah, okay, fine. All right, so, Tim, I don't want to discuss the shortcomings of the Patriots. That's been well documented for the last 2 weeks or so everywhere you go. I personally have no problem. The coaches are human. The players are human. They had a great season. I'm still entrenched in the 40 years of losing, and so whatever they give us in terms of success, I'm okay with. And they're only going to get better for next year. But what's on your mind sports-wise? Anything you want to clear the attic about?
Well, certainly, the end of the Patriots season was a little bit of a disappointment. For those of us, you said, who've suffered through 40 years of absolute misery with an occasional blip on the better side of life, 75-76. For the Pats, the 86 Pats getting to the Super Bowl, 95 getting to the Super Bowl. So there's been those spots, over the last four decades where they've given us reason to hope, but this last consistent run of excellence, we've become so spoiled. We expect 12 wins. We expect the playoffs. We expect an AFC championship. You go to six Super Bowls, in the span of 15 years, no team has done that. And yet this team has done it with a variety of characters, and they've maintained that excellence with again, an ever-changing cast of characters with the exception of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. They've changed coordinators, they've changed assistant coaches, they've changed players, but it's been Brady and Bill Belichick. And, I just foresee the day when they decide to walk out the door together and leave it to the next generation. Because it's unprecedented in NFL history. Yeah, Bill was looking long term, and we always see Bill looking to the next game. We got to win the next game. The whole objective was to win the next game, so not to play down the stretch, to win those games, especially the Miami game. And that was a big disappointment to a lot of fans because that just ran counter to what Belichick has traditionally done. We're going to play to win the game. And yet, for the purpose of the first time, he looked long-term and said, I've got to make sure I've got all my number one weapons healthy to go into the playoffs and win with. And after the first playoff game, we said, okay, maybe it made sense. We can go to Denver and we can play. Well, Denver had an outstanding game plan, and, the Patriots got beat. And, they didn't fall, they didn't roll over. You lose by 2 points, and were there a couple of questionable decisions? Yeah. But, In games past, Belichick has made great decisions, and they've been the correct. Whether you like them or not, they have proved to be the correct decision in the long run. And this time, it sort of came back and bit him. But he stands by those decisions. He said that's what we felt was the best thing to do at the time. And so, okay, like you said, 13-5, team would die for a 13-5 season to get to the conference championship game. They would die to do that.
Who's the other guy?
He's gonna lose.
DeMarcus Ware, and who's the other guy? The guy who wrecked havoc. I can't remember his name.
Oh God, there were a couple of them. The linebacker.
Yeah, 58. And I know his name, and I can't think of it. He was.
Yeah, I know. That was in his. But he did.
He was the best player on the field.
Yeah, but and you look at it, the Patriots' offensive line. You had the right tackle playing left tackle. You had a substitute guy who's mainly played the interior playing right tackle, and they were just revolving doors for the defensive ends. They couldn't handle the speed rush.
Yeah.
And so you tip your hat and you go with them. Should they have kept the running backs in the chip? Yeah, probably. But again, you're trying to maximize your personnel down the field. But Devin did a great job of covering.
And you know what's going to be lost in all of that? Was that incredible last 12-second touchdown drive.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I mean, the catch that Gronkowski made, Brady threw it between two defensive guys, and Gronkowski came back between the two of them to make the catch.
Yep.
And that was actually a spectacular catch. But we forget about that because they lost by two.
Yeah, I know.
They didn't.
See,
and Gronk was open, wide open, and then back in the end zone when he was looking for Edelman. And why wouldn't you go to your biggest target in that situation? Well, if it's a bunch of candy, and that's every day would be Christmas, as I like to say. Okay, we didn't win this one.
But that's right.
Next year, woo,
I think they're going to be dynamite, but I appreciate it, Tim. Coach, hopefully you'll be back next week. I don't think it's a holiday next Monday. The holiday's the Monday after that, so hopefully we can get you back in studio here.
I hope so. I'm getting a little... I get a little tired of being tired by these...
I hear you.
So,
all right, Tim, I'll talk to you later on. Get a good night's rest.
All righty, Rick.
Talk to you later, Coach. Thank you.
Okay,
all right, that's Tim Kearns, who is our MSO Sports Analyst. That's it. I want to thank all of our guests tonight. Great show. Appreciate everybody checking in with us and giving us all the information that we get. We started with Steve Krause, the editor of the Daily Item. We talked with Sal Cellino. He is a member of the Gloucester swim team on Coach's File with Tim Kearns. We also had Beverly Athletic Director James Coffey on, along with Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director Craig Genualdo. Did I miss any? And, of course, Tim Kearns. So appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to Bill Newell for his help tonight also, remotely. Appreciate that, Bill. And we'll see you guys next week. This is MSONewsSports.com. This is North Shore Sports Night. Everybody have a good evening. Bye-bye.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.